The costs related to pharmaceuticals are alarming to many people. Where there's a huge collection of drugs that may only cost $10 for a refill, others may lead to patients having to spend thousands or more, and there's concern those prices are on the rise. Earlier this week, attorneys general in 44 states, including Arizona, moved to sue almost 20 of the nation's largest generic drug manufacturers for price fixing. Some groups, like Patients for Affordable Drugs and Prep for All, have formed to try to force action on bringing pharmaceutical costs lower for consumers. To learn more about that, I'm joined by Scott Knorr and Jeff Rosner. Knorr is chief pharmacy officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and Rosner is senior director of pharmacy sourcing and purchasing at the Cleveland Clinic. Scott, let me start with you. Concerns about drug prices is nothing new, but could you assess what's currently going on in terms of the kind of advocacy we're seeing when it comes to keeping those prices manageable?
You know, drug pricing has been in the news a lot, probably since about 2014, I think, when we had some of those really bad players like Valeant Pharmaceuticals that bought the rights to single-source generics and raised the price hundreds of times, and then Daraprim with Martin Scorsese, who wound up ultimately going to prison, and all that got a lot of attention. Now, there are multiple groups, individual patient groups, which tend to be more drug-specific, Steve, you know, where they're, you know, maybe their parents have children with a certain disease, and they'll lobby to get a drug down, drug price down. Now, those have varying levels of effectiveness, but one thing I'd like to comment on that sometimes gets confusing is that pharma, which is the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association, which is the trade group for big drug companies, you know, oftentimes they will fund patients groups for, I don't know if they're really nefarious purposes, but purposes that aren't necessarily benevolent. So instead of trying to bring the price down for the drug, they'll fund patient groups to lobby to get their expensive drug included on insurance plans.
Scott is right. A lot of those patient assistance programs are directed to make branded drugs more affordable, but overall increases the cost for insurers and the public and taxpayers.
And we're at a time as we're seeing, not that this is limited to folks who are in that baby boomer and older category, but we certainly see people that get in that age group. We're seeing more and more folks like that. Does that indicate that we're at an especially critical point to influence drug company decisions?
Well, yes and no. What we're seeing, pharma doesn't have a lot of the big blockbuster drugs like they used to have for cholesterol, right? So the statins. Everybody took it. I mean, I'm slightly exaggerating for effect, but lots and millions of people took statins. So the prices were expensive, but they weren't ridiculously expensive. What we're seeing now is these much more niche drugs that are targeted for smaller diseases that fewer people have. Sort of the poster child for one of these is for spinal muscular atrophy, Spinraza, I think is the name of that.
Correct.
And this one, Steve, when it came out, it was $750,000 for these kids for the first year and $350,000 for life. Now, this is like Lou Gehrig's disease for little kids. It's a horrible disease. There's previously nothing that treated it. So parents, it's like their only choice, and it will stop the patients in some cases from getting worse. But, I mean, that's $1 million for the first 2 years, you know, and yeah. And so we're seeing a lot more of this. And really the problem is it's unsustainable, right? I mean, we can't as a society be paying $1 million for 2 years for specific patients. Now, some of the things I think that have started to come out of it, it's been slow. Right now, I think it may get voted out of committee this week, but there is a bill called the CREATES Act, and that is really geared toward one of the problems is that brand companies don't want generic competition, and they'll do pay to delay where they'll pay other drug companies not to make generics. And with this, what they'll actually do is they won't sell samples to a generic company. In order for a generic product to enter the market, the innovator company, you know, has the patent, and the generic company has to get samples of it, and they have to prove pedigree so that they can do dissolution testing and make sure it dissolves the same way. But if the drug company won't sell them the samples, they can't say, hey, I got the drug, I know it's the right drug, it's equivalent. So this law would really outlaw that. It would give generic companies a way to sue brand name companies for not selling the samples. And that may, you know, there's been very little federal legislation, a lot of talk. I mean, Trump talked a lot, the Democrats talk a lot, but this was going to be maybe one of the first actual laws that hopefully will come out soon. And I'm looking forward now because one of the things that the government's doing that is they're going to require prices to be on direct-to-consumer advertising for drugs.
Is direct-to-consumer, is this what, you know, we see? I was watching a TV show the other night, and I think every ad I saw was for some sort of drug, prescription drug.
Exactly. And the big thing missing there, guess what? These aren't old generic drugs that cost $4 a month that they're advertising, you know, during the Super Bowl. These are those ridiculously expensive drugs. But nowhere does it say how much that drug costs. So with that, what they'll require is that for a course of therapy, so if you take it once a month or if it's an antibiotic, for you to take it once a week, it'll say what it costs for that course of therapy. So one of the things here, physicians many times don't know what things cost, and this just feeds into it. Patient sees this commercial, it looks great. You know, people are sitting around in bathtubs holding hands or God knows what, and they want that drug. So they talk to their doctor. Their doctor doesn't know what that costs. Well, it turns out this drug may cost $30,000 for a course of therapy, and there could be a drug that costs $20 for a course of therapy.
You have pharmaceutical companies that will talk about, obviously, how important R&D is, and some have said that, you know, these drug prices need to be at a certain level in order to have enough money to then invest in other drugs and develop them. Is there truth to this? Is there a certain percentage of truth? No truth?
Well, that would be one of pharma's biggest talking points, Steve. So I'm glad you brought that up. We've heard that before, and there's truth to that, right? Because we do have, I'm not anti-pharma. If we didn't have pharmaceutical manufacturers, we wouldn't have these creative, novel therapies that we literally save lives, right? I mean, we got new cancer drugs that cure some forms of cancer. Now, cancer, a lot of times, is a chronic disease because you can treat it, and you have to invest in that. However, pharma only spends about 15%, I mean, 15% is significant, 15% of their sales on research and development. You know what they spend on marketing? 20 to 25% on marketing, direct-to-consumer advertising. They claim it costs $500 million or $500 million to bring a new drug to market, but studies have said after taxes it's $51 to $71 million. Yes, it's expensive to bring new drugs to market. They oversell that talking point, and the numbers that they spend on marketing are much higher than research and development, and taxpayers pay more for R&D than drug companies do.
And that's not to mention the $170 million that pharma spent on lobbying. And
lobbying, right. $170 million in 2018 on lobbying, right. So you want to look at big expenses, marketing and lobbying.
Scott Knorr is Chief Pharmacy Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Jeff Rosner is Senior Director of Pharmacy Sourcing and Purchasing at the Cleveland Clinic.